¿Quién más quiere ser parte de la comunidad número uno de software como servicio en LATAM y aprender a construir, lanzar y crecer tu negocio digital? Ingresa a softwarecomoservicio.com y sigue los pasos para registrarte rápidamente y ser parte de la comunidad totalmente gratis. Únete a la comunidad y obtén estos beneficios. Puedes conocer a VCs, conocer a Angel Investors, fundadores de SaaS, conocer a Full Stack SaaS Developers y Growth Hack para llevar tu empresa al siguiente nivel. Ingresa a softwarecomoservicio.com ahora.
Because subscriptions can't be sold through partners. There are two problems when you're trying to go to market and actually get a partner to sell a subscription. Number one, they can't create accounts. You can't even create a subscription account. It's very difficult because you want to create an account that you can manage, but the customer owns and control, because the data has to be owned by the customer. And because of this fact that you're storing the data now on your servers, instead of what we used to do is actually put a computer in the customer's office and then install, you know, take a CD and install in their office. You can't do that anymore. So there has to be some kind of contractual relationship between the customer and the software vendor. So that's difficult. Oh, it's manageable. The second problem, which is almost impossible, is the billing. How do you pay for a subscription and expense it to the client without getting stuck in the middle of this financial risk? It's an ongoing recurring charge and liability and all the bookkeeping, especially since most SaaS is variable cost. It changes price all the time. So you got to watch that expense carefully, and the bookkeeping overhead overwhelms. And this was a very interesting problem, I thought, honestly, in 2007.
Aprenderás sobre la excitante industria de ingresos recurrentes con software, historias de fundadores de empresas de software, tips de internet marketing y recomendaciones de apps para crecer tu negocio. Soy Jorge Díaz y te doy la bienvenida al podcast de Software como Servicio. Hello, welcome to the Software como Servicio podcast. This episode will be in English because we have a special guest. It's Sunir Shah from Appvine.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me. And now I wish that my Spanish language had no chance of practicing here in Canada where I live.
You didn't understand the intro.
A little bit. I mean, we learned French. It's not that different because we're Canadian. The history of our content be what it is. But here I am. Thanks for having me. SaaS is the same in any language, so we can just...
Yes. Well, we were talking behind the scenes, and I was talking to you about software como servicio, and that many people are interested in the topic in Latin America, in Spanish, and it's a growing community. So that's why I invite guests like you, because you have an interesting story to tell, and I love your service at Vine. Tell us about your origin story or how you came up with the idea.
Well, let's say what it is first. And my origin story is a long story because it's a fun story, but it's a journey. But what we've doing, so the issue with SaaS or subscription, anything, is that it broke the way that software goes to market completely. And you might go, oh, what are you talking about? All these companies are doing really well. Well, licensed software, when software came in boxes, did a lot better. And I always find it entertaining seeing, if you know Saster and Jason Lumpkin, is like the race to 100 million ARR, which is his thing, like $100 million in 1 year, which, by the way, who makes that money? Now, I guess more companies. It's taken a long time. But, you know, Lotus 123, the first real spreadsheet after VisiCalc, how long did it take them to get to $100 million of revenue in today's money? You know, it was 1 year. It took them 1 year to do that. And what's the difference? What's the difference is that when you have a distribution channel that looks like everything else on the planet, where you put a bunch of stuff in boxes and ship them to shopping malls all across America, you know, back in the 80s, and now worldwide, you know, it should be easy to actually scale revenue very, but there aren't that many SaaS companies that grow this way. And if you look at the numbers pre-pandemic, 2019, I don't have the pandemic numbers because it was a crazy time for everything. But in 2019, there was $560 billion of B2B software sold globally, $364 billion of which was sold through partners, but of SaaS, less than $23 billion. And, you know, SaaS was $100 billion of that. And so, you know, while SaaS was less, like about 1 in 5, 1 in 6 of all software sales, it's at 14. I was like, what's going on here? And that's just the software itself. Then you look at services revenue, which is, you know, in 2019 was $2.1 trillion, of which Microsoft was half. Microsoft is an enormous company, by the way. People don't really appreciate it. I don't know why, but Microsoft is 1/80th of the world's economy, them and their aftermarket, $1.3 trillion. You know, they're larger than some countries, you know, them and their ecosystem. It's all because they sold 96% through partners. But why does SaaS not work? Okay, that's a very nice macroeconomic story. It looks good if I was, you know, an analyst. But what's the problem? So when I started the marketing team at FreshBooks in 2007, which is invoicing for agencies, consultants, whatever, my thought going into that, because it's 2007, think how long ago that was, is that we'd sell the software through partners, accountants, bookkeepers, consultants, whatever. But it didn't work because subscriptions can't be sold through partners. There are two problems when you're trying to go to market and actually get a partner to sell a subscription. Number one, they can't create accounts. You can't even create a subscription account. It's very difficult because you want to create an account that you can manage, but the customer owns and control, because the data has to be owned by the customer. And because of this fact that you're storing the data now on your servers, instead of what we used to do is actually put a computer in the customer's office and then install, you know, take a CD and install in their office. You can't do that anymore. So there has to be some kind of contractual relationship between the customer and the software vendor. So that's difficult. Oh, it's manageable. The second problem, which is almost impossible, is the billing. How do you pay for a subscription and expense it to the client without getting stuck in the middle of this financial risk? It's an ongoing recurring charge and liability and all the bookkeeping, especially since most SaaS is variable cost. It changes price all the time. So you got to watch that expense carefully. And the bookkeeping overhead overwhelms. And this was a very interesting problem. I thought, honestly, in 2007, when I started the marketing, we would go through partners. 2008, I started the partnership team at FreshBooks. And we did very well, but it wasn't through partner reselling. It was only through integrations at the time, which I'm happy to talk about if you're interested, integration strategy. But we kept trying because there's so much demand. Like there's so many people who love the product who said, I could sell this to our customers. How do I do it? They kept asking us for how. And, you know, I'm a computer scientist by training. And so I immediately thought about a solution technically to solve it. And we took in today's money, every year the number goes up it's $500,000 in today's money. We spent, and we had a third of the engineering team basically. And even I thought this was crazy. So I went to the CEO, Mike, and it's like, Mike, you got to fire me. Like, this is crazy. I mean, I didn't want to get fired, but like this project was stupid. Like it was painful to continue. Because you can't divert a third of the company's resources, you know, to this go-to-market channel. And if it wasn't driving a third of the revenue, like it doesn't make any sense, you know, and we'd have to maintain it. And the issue is, it wasn't the initial build, which was extraordinarily expensive to build it out. The issue was we'd have to touch that billing system and rip it apart, because SaaS billing is not simple. It's not like what we used to do, because I used to work in a Microsoft shop. First, we were consultants, and then we built a product. And when we built a product, when partners called us to say, I love your product, how do I sell it to our customers? You know, which is the greatest call. It was very easy. It's like, what's your address? We'll ship you a bunch of boxes by FedEx and salute you. Good luck. And we sell it to you at 40% list. That's it. It was very simple, you know, it's just a transaction, but it doesn't work with subscriptions. And so why the billing system? Is it because recurring upgrades, downgrades, churn, cancellation, variable costs, all that stuff is very complicated. And your entire company operationally is wrapped around that central billing and CRM system. And so everyone will fight the partner team. You're just picking a fight with literally everybody internally. Not that you want to, but it's just so much friction. It's terrible. So all of support will fight you because, you know, now every account that comes in, they have to know if it's partner attached or not, how to deal with it or not. They can't stand it. Finance will hate it because they have to track it. Product and engineering will hate it because they want to change the pricing model in the future and they want to have the flexibility to do it. Sales will hate it because they got to figure out a quote and price. It's very, very, very confusing. And so this blew my mind. I mean, we failed. And I wasn't the only, I'm not the only company who's, yet still, you know, then I went to OLARC, the live chat, I was CMO there, and the demand was there still. People wanted to bring our live chat products into all these e-commerce sites and whatever. We still couldn't figure out how to sell it, you know? And we tried using the referral model, which is what everyone does, right? It's almost always referrals and referral links. And it's like, well, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with that? Here's the problem. And I actually, wish I had learned this because I was I'm a smart person. I'm not smart. I just failed a lot. I failed so many times. So I was consulting after I left Olark. Because I left Olark, I had my third kid coming. I live in Canada, they're in America. So I wanted the pat leave. We have like, I hate telling this, but we have 12, now we have 18 months. So I wanted to do some of that. So I left, but I didn't want to do. I didn't want to get a job because then I wouldn't have leave. So I was consulting again. I consulted back and forth. So I was like, okay. But this is now, I'm doing it in subscription land rather than licensed land. So now I'm like, okay, how do I deal with this? And I didn't buy the subscriptions for my client. And he was a fashion retailer. He was making clothes, he was making a bricks and mortar store. He was making a line of clothes. And we're doing the e-commerce. I was working on the analytics conversion rate optimization and funnel to like the advertising funnel. And I didn't buy anything. So 3 days from launch, he noticed there's no phone number, like there's no tracking, nothing is working like that I'm supposed to do because I didn't buy anything. Every Monday, I asked him every Monday, can you sign up for these, you know, branch and talk to us? He's like, yeah, sure. But it was like, he's making clothes. He's a clothier. You know, I'm asking him to buy computer science stuff. Like, and finally, he let me have it. He said, Sunir, my plumber, don't forget, he's making a store. My plumber's not making me buy my own pipes. I expect you to take care of this for me. Working with you is 10 times harder than not working with you. Because I just threw all the work back on his shoulder. And I was like, God damn. So I went and bought the subscriptions, you know, and then canceled my credit card because I didn't want to get charged again. Did an all-nighter, delivered. And then, of course, he fired me. And I asked him, you know, after a month later, because we had actually a pretty good rapport. I had this idea for AppMind. It's like, what was your experience as a client? Yeah, you wasted my time, confused me, slowed down the project, did that for everyone else. You couldn't even control your own time. I don't know how anyone can run a business like that, right? And I was like, yeah. And I asked him, when did you decide to fire me? And this is what kills me. He says, on the first call. It still hurts. The first call. It's like, no, don't get me wrong. He said, Senior, I wasn't mad at you until the end. I was just stressed out. I'm sorry about that, but it was quite stressful. But no, thinking back, I realized that because this is the problem with referrals. I burdened him with a bunch of to-dos he didn't understand right from the jump. Things he expected me to take care of him. He couldn't rely on me anymore he could see that I knew what to do, but he couldn't rely on me to do it because I wouldn't do it. I refused to do it. And so he knew that he had to hire someone internally to take care of this, which is effectively what he did. Right. And he did that basically, but he couldn't handle it up until launch. So he was just dealing with me until he had free time to hire someone internally. He hired someone internally and that was the end of me. So I had fired myself by burdening my client. Right. And this is the problem with referrals. Like your plumber would never send you to a hardware store to buy your own pipes, pumps, valves. You know, if your basement is flooded, right? My basement is flooding. Like, can you deal with this? Like, I don't want to talk to three sump pump manufacturers to see which one best suits my organizational needs. Get the water out of my basement. But if your marketing funnel is leaking, you know, this is exactly what a lot of market agencies are doing. They're like making you like, let's talk to Salesforce. Let's talk to HubSpot. Let's talk to, I don't care. Just get this thing working. Like, do you want to use reply.io or Hunter or Snovio or Salesloft? Like, I don't outreach. I don't know. I don't, if I knew, I would have done it. And this is actually, I think, what a lot of SaaS companies, you know, it's invisible to them because we can't see our customers anymore. But this is what's happening. Like if you think from the customer's point of view, at least a third and probably a half of potential customers, whether it's a small business or an enterprise, they do not have the wherewithal internally to purchase directly. They have to hire externally because they just don't have the staff or experience or time or whatever it is. And therefore, if you do not provide an opportunity to them to bring in additional trusted experts on a contract basis to get them going, they're not going to be able to buy your software. And you know who they're going to buy? Your competitors, because it's the only, as far as the customer is concerned, they don't actually care about which software they're using most of the time. They care about their problem. And if the partner between you and the customer finds it easier to work with another company, they're just going to work with that company. For them, they're only focused on getting that client, you know, back in control as quickly as possible. So whoever supports them best. And this is a long story to tell you where AppMind came from. We're a portal that basically allows you to drop in, doesn't touch your billing system, allows you to support your solution partners, let them basically purchase your software without being in the middle of the we invoice the client and bill the client automatically, and we don't ever need to integrate with your bill, which sounds like magic, and it is a magic trick, but it we can do it. We know how to do it. We have a little magic trick. I could explain what that is.
Yeah, I'm showing your website here in the video version of the podcast, and You use like a virtual card, right?
Yeah. So the clever idea that I had after FreshBooks is like, what is the real solution? So this is the version of the site says subscription manager for agencies. I realized the agencies need something for them. They need a vendor management portal. But what's a subscription, right? A subscription is how you sign up and how you pay for it. And what they needed is some way that they could do it on behalf of a client. So we make a virtual shared email address so they can sign up, forwards emails to them, they manage the accounts, forwards emails to the client so that they could own the accounts, which is very important. And a virtual shared credit card so that the agencies can pay for the subscriptions or buy the subscriptions, sorry. But we automatically track all the charges. So there's no bookkeeping. We do all the bookkeeping and bill the client automatically so that the agencies know the financial risks. And the clients own everything from the beginning. And we handle all the transfers at the end of the project. So the clients always own their stuff. And it's been transformative for the agencies on our site or on our product to use it, because they can start building. This is key. They get off doing labor, just doing labor. They start building systems again, right? And systems is where the margins is for them. That's how they build a business. It allows them, as it turns out, to bring in more and more and more different kinds of software to the client. So it's easier for them to say yes to you as a software vendor. I can bring you to my clients because I know how I can implement it and then build to the client without having to get the client involved. And for the SaaS vendors, because it's a credit card, we don't need an integration. We don't need anything. We can just go in literally in a day, turn it on, get you set up and allow your partners to onboard and start purchasing your software. We handle all the commissions because we can track the money across the credit card. We'll rebate them automatically. We'll show you all their all the partners, all the customers, all the relationships. It's amazing what you can do with a virtual credit card. It's incredible.
Yeah, I have been thinking about this business model. Like, you can be a consultant on HubSpot,
yeah.
The marketing CRM all in one, and maybe teach them about how to use it, how to load their leads and all that, and charge like 20% or I don't know what percent, but you can earn from that, and a setup fee of all the configuration and all with AppBind, right? Very easily.
That's exactly right. And if actually HubSpot is a very good example. So that is that company, you know, Peter Caputo set up that program. I'm having a little Twitter debate with him actually right now, but he's very, 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 very good at setting agents channels. And HubSpot taught these HubSpot agencies how to be HubSpot agencies, how to be inbound marketing agents. But the problem is commercially, they're not building systems out. They're just doing implement. So they're really focused on the first 3 months of the HubSpot install. And then they don't have a long-term stickiness. And I was talking, I had my own podcast. I was interviewing, it's all about, you know, how to get the digital under control. So your digital agency comes under control. I was interviewing this HubSpot agency owner. Unfortunately, of course, it's always in the app, you know, when you're not recording, it's in the after interview while it goes. There's a pandemic. And he was saying to me, Sunir, you know, we're just chatting about like the pandemic and how. And he's like, Sunir, he's just like, what do I own? What do you mean? What do I own as like an agency? I still don't know the question. It's like, you have your agency, you have your staff, you have your clients, your brand, your blog. What do you mean? What do you own? It's like, no. Every single month, I have to start the business from like, what does that even mean? Like, that can't be true. It's like, no, every single month. Because he was on this treadmill. And think how privileged we are in SaaS. We have a product that's high leverage, that's sticky. Like, you don't have to work on it. You can sit there. But the agencies don't. They used to. When they're systems integrators, they would build a system and maintain it. An industrial plumber would build out the plumbing at a factory and then maintain it for 10 years. But these agencies don't, right? They're just selling human labor. And so what he's saying, every single month with every single client, I have to beg every single client. It's like, what more can I do for you, please? Just to prove their value. So they're constantly selling human labor. That's all they have, right? And what he told me is what I sell, he said, Sunir, I'm what I do is I sell the sprinkles, but not the donut. It's like, what does that mean? I mean, I'm a Canadian. But like, what he meant was he's a little candy on the donut, right? They convinced someone to buy the donut in the first place. And then the customer got addicted to the donut store. Who's a donut store? HubSpot, right? They're the ones selling the substantive part of the deal, right? They make $24,000 a year, right? But his agency gets kicked out of, you know, after they convince them to buy the donut in the first place. They only get pennies. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, and I was like, that's, for me, it was very weird because my background coming from the system integrator space and the licensed software, this is when I began my career when I was 18, it was formative. It showed me, you know, like my president, that, you know, that SI, she told me, you know, never, we don't sell you, Sunir, we sell systems. You are the hello, like the labor is the hello. Your hands on the keyboard is just the hello for the, but We don't sell that system. There's no ongoing engagement. There's no point. That's the product. And it's not just because we want the contract, the three-year maintenance contract, because the three-year maintenance contract means to find other things to work with them on, sell them more systems. And that was very lucrative, right? But from the customer's point of view, you know, they can't think about this problem. You are the system, not the software. You know, an industrial plumber, a factory, they lay out the pipe like a bread making factory. They usually, you know, they might have their internal plumbers, but if they outsourced it, they're going to have an industrial plumber. Industrial HVAC is the same thing, commercial HVAC. They'll have a company install the heating and cooling. No one's going to maintain their own heating and cooling. They just have 10-year contracts. That's typical. And so, you know, what do you do as a SaaS company to go to market? You know, and this is, I think, the gap of information that we have because we can't see anyone in. But it's very simple. Like, whoever's closer to the customer, you know, is the lead partner. And you're the supporting partner. So if you can support these companies, you know, their job is, they're agencies. They take action. That's what agency means. I think the word's the same in Spanish, right? Agency, right? So it's their job is to take action, yeah. Right? To a customer means custom. They have to do a custom build. What they do is they adapt technology to the customer's need, right? And just like a plumber doesn't make their own pipes, right? They're building a plumbing system out of parts. They're building a system out of parts. And so that system is their product. And that becomes productized services, which is leverage. It's margins. That's something they can hang around and like build a business around. Like one of the weirdest things you know that people don't understand, because if you live in SaaS, you're so used to the product being the profitable center. Agencies don't have that, you know, anymore because SaaS companies have taken so much. But like when you're an agency, there's a trap where you cannot scale revenue as a service company. You cannot, because the more you scale your revenue, and you have to scale payroll to meet the sales. And the more payroll you have, it means next month you have a liability you have to meet. So that you're on this treadmill, yes, where you have to run faster and faster down this hill, and you just can't keep up. You'll break your legs, you know, doing this. They need something where they have a sustainable product of some kind, which is usually the system of products. And that's their value to you. They can bring your product in plus your technical integration partners together into a solution and deliver the whole thing. That's their role in the ecosystem. And if you think about it that way, it's actually a lot easier to figure out how do you go to market with them. How do we support you putting a system together for the client that you get to make? It's very simple.
Yes. I was thinking about like a productized service can be, I don't know, newsletters for small businesses, and I choose ActiveCampaign or MailChimp or whatever, and you now can earn money by managing all the things, right? Like writing the newsletter, managing the software, but with AppBind, it's an easy way to do that, right?
That's exactly right. Most of our best market are local marketing agents, because if you're dealing with a restaurant or a plumbing company or handyman service or whatever, I mean, they're not dummies. They're technically capable, yes, but in their domain, right? Like, so they're going to contract out internet marketing, which is another technical to a contractor. And really, the customers don't really care how internet marketing systems are built or funnels or any of this stuff. They can't keep up with it. What they want, what do they want? They want one thing: more customers. That's it. So if you deliver them a pipeline of growth of customers, they're happy, right? But then you as an agency, what we're finding on AppBind, it gives them permission to get past Facebook ads and Google ads and HubSpot, right? Just like the three products. Now they can, you know, bring in more leverage, more tools. So, you know, we're using StreamYard, very popular now, right? Because podcasting is very, very popular. Can you imagine bringing that and organizing a podcast campaign for SMB without having the ability to build out, you know, StreamYard and Libs for them? Very difficult, right?
All the graphics of StreamYard, the branding, everything.
That's right. And then what about Upwork and all these other services you want to, like, you also want to subcontract, you know, like these are kinds of things that you want to be able to flexibly bring in, you know, or generate the result. And every internet marketing campaign is different, you know?
Yes.
So you want some flexibility to bring in what you need. And AppBind creates the trusted relationship between the client.
Let me tell you an insight about the Latin American market. They want a service. They don't want self-serve. So
yeah, right.
That's a big insight about the market. We don't want, or we don't know how to use it. Well, maybe me or my types that maybe use other American SaaS and world SaaS, they we know how to use it. We know how to put a credit card there and start using it. But the old timers or the baby boomers of Latin America that are in big corporations, they don't know how to, or new customers even, they don't know how to self-serve or use the self-service, and they want a service. It's more in the culture, I think.
I think that's human nature. Like, I have this joke that it's true. Like, since the age of the pyramids, humans have been contracting to each other, right? When it goes beyond their skill or capability. I mean, it's normal. That's how we work together as humans, right? And then subscriptions, SaaS, what it's done is because it forces the customer to buy direct and forces the SaaS companies, therefore, to provide full service, right? It has really killed this market. And frankly, it's just not feasible to grow successfully without supporting half of the market that wants to hire their own. And that is the truth. And you'll see every scaling SaaS company has some kind of solution partner community around it, whether they're allowed to do it with permission and in the light with certified programs or secretly on the side, you know, but it's going to happen anyway, because customers demand it. I mean, I was talking to, you know, Evernote, just for an example. Yes. So Evernote, they have a huge number of implementation partners. Weirdly, it's a note-taking app, but you know, there's a lot of people who just like want help with everything, right? But yes. they would never acknowledge these partners. It was a very confusing experience. So they were allowed to help people about Evernote, but they weren't allowed to log into the customer's accounts by Evernote, even though technically and legally the customer can appoint anybody to act as their agent on their, like, that's their choice, but Evernote would block it. And I was like, well, this is the problem with the SaaS mindset, that you control and own everything. You can't control everything. Customer controls it. You have to let the customer be the center of attention.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even I was thinking of a service like for, I don't know, not technical people, even by have a consultant. I don't know who will make this idea. Have a consultant on Spotify, YouTube Premium, Netflix, and like put it with Appbuying and do our revenue from that. I think it's a interesting small idea, but interesting.
Well, just to buy these services for consumers, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
That's interesting. Is there a problem with that? I don't know the Latin market. It could be a payments problem. Like, they can't, our credit cards not
popular down there? We don't have like the confidence in like paying with credit card, because maybe it's a fraud or a scam or something. We rely in cash.
Okay.
Mainly.
Yeah. And this is actually an opportunity. So this is a very common problem outside of the US and Europe, that internal payments do not mesh well with the US financial system. And I think we're all learning this week just how powerful the US financial system truly is. Like, oh, it does control the world. Okay, great. Okay, so the way Appwine works, it's funny. We all just wanted the pandemic to end and go back to having fun. No. All right.
Another geopolitical problem.
So here's how Appwine works. So everything inside Appwine is internally in US dollars, and we issue US-based US credit card. Doesn't mean that we allow you to anonymously use them. We check who you are, but it doesn't matter. We'll issue them. So if you are acting as I'm going to call it a reseller in this case. That term is really strange because most companies don't present themselves to customers as resellers. But if you are basically arbitraging or it's a weird word. If you're actually standing in as the way to purchase American products or European for people who don't have US to pay with, let's just call that reselling. You can take the money however you want, convert it locally in however you want in your country. And then you can fund the Appmind account and purchase accounts on other people's behalf using that. And that allows you the ability to serve these customers without, you know, in US dollars.
Another example about agencies is that Facebook ads buying or Meta ads buying now, it's difficult, right? When you onboard a new customer, you need to go in a Zoom call and then tell them, insert the credit your credit card here in the business manager, and it's very confusing. And
this is where I got fired. Even... It's exactly what happened to me with this fashion retailer. I was trying to get him to do all like I think Facebook was the one that like terminated, or because Facebook, I don't even understand Facebook Business Manager. You know, I just so many buttons to click, and I'm like, oh, where is it? And they move it around every quarter. Like, I'll tell you one thing that really blows my mind about Facebook too. I've had my credit card, because I have virtual credit card stolen from Facebook more than once. I don't even understand how it's possible. Like, this is a $1 trillion corporation. How are my cards being stolen from? Like, I don't get. That is a terrifying. I mean, I don't.
Yeah,
I
and then
you, that's
then,
true, but it does appear to be very true. It's like you don't.
Then you have like a $50,000 bill in your credit card.
Yeah, I was like, well, randomly. Yeah. So then, like, what if you have a client's? If you got a client to put a payment source, something that they're already afraid of, and you're afraid, don't trust credit cards. You need some kind of. We need to use a virtual card that you can control that limits the damage, right? So, and then the customers. This happens a lot too, by the way. If customers give you a credit card as an agent to sign up, this is what a lot of people say. Well, why can't, there's two things that SaaS companies will say. Well, why can't the customer sign up direct? Well, they would if they could, but they're already overwhelmed. Like, they're already behind schedule. They're already confused. They already feel incompetent. Like, they don't understand the thing that they hired someone else to handle. Let the person they hired to help them help them. That's why referrals don't make any sense in that case. And then the second thing is, why can't the agency pay for it? Well, then they're going to be in the middle of financial risk. They don't want to pay. They're not a bank. They can't pay for the client stuff. So the third solution is, why can't the client just give the credit card to the agency? Well, what happens if that credit card gets compromised, either by the agency or someone else? Then you have a problem. First, the agency may be blamed, which is very likely to happen. I've seen it many times at FreshBooks, because clients would call us all the time to complain about our customers, the agencies. And we're like, we're just an invoicing tool. We can't help you. But I heard a lot of stories when I was there, like once a month. And then when I was, and the second thing is, if the client's credit card goes down, you're still responsible to keep that funnel going, because the customer's not paying you to manage Facebook. What they're paying you for? Customers. They want more customers. So if your Facebook ads go down, you're in trouble. And so you have to spend a day updating all the billing systems of all the things the client's credit card is in, and you don't have a credit card. So what are you going to use? You end up using your own credit card to keep the thing going. And then now you're extending a loan to your customer. And why did that card go down? Maybe they don't have any money. And so you don't know. And then you could end up extending them a loan you'll never collect on. It's chaos, right? And so so this is why the virtual cards made sense to me.
Also in Mexico, in Facebook ads, Mexico, now there's tax regulation that the customer needs to put their card, not you as an agency. You get in trouble if you put your card as an agency.
Oh, that's interesting. So because there's some kind of stamp tax for import export, is that what they're doing?
I'm not sure, but maybe like taxes, like you need to the customer needs to put their funding source directly. Or with App Bind, it could be a solution.
Yeah, well, we everything with us is transparent. So we're in the U.S., so we're just a stand-in. So if you pay us, what happens with App Bind is the customers put the money into an expense account that it's controlled. It still belongs to the but then that's basically extending a deposit to the agency to go spend out of, which is very similar to a plumber. So if you're doing a reno on the house, you give the contractor a deposit so they can go buy the materials, right? And then they can start working.
Yes.
Right. That's a very common thing. But the difference is that the money in AppLine is controlled based on subscriptions, right? So you can only use the cards associated. Like, there's a purchase order that the agency will give you. So I'm buying Facebook ads and HubSpot and StreamYard and whatever. These are the things I'm buying.
Yes.
Client agrees, and then we only issue cards for those products because we have all their merchandise. So then we lock the cards to that, and then it can only be drawn for that. So in that sense, the money is transferred to AppBind. We hold it securely, and then that money, then you can issue a card to Facebook from there.
Another thing that I saw about your platform is that you were mentioning about affiliate partners or link affiliate links and all that. You also can take advantage of that on top of your markup of managing the software, right?
Yes, this is a very, I don't raise it as a first point, but it is a very, actually a long-term point. So it's not free money because you're joining a partner program, but it's actually loss. If you're working with a vendor, you're losing money because every minute you're spending time with a vendor, you're not billing for. And so you're losing money. So it's very important to, yes, take the money to pay back for your time invested in the vendor. But the second reason you should do it is that the vendors, like the software vendors, they look at these referral programs for agencies that have a lot of clients. So when they have a customer who needs an agency, they go to these agencies. It's going to be a way to build a relationship. And if you're a SaaS vendor, who's listening to this and thinking about AppMind might be a good solution for your reseller portal, like conversely, we show you all the partners on the system using our and who all their customers are. So similarly, you could see who's the best paid partners or not. But for those of you who have referral programs, or for those who are working with referral programs, this allows the agency to sign up themselves, because you never would put a referral link in front of a client, isn't it? Right? It makes literally, it's absolutely backwards. First, you just threw the project back on the customer's plate, which is exactly how, you know, you were going to get fired. You just burdened them with something they wanted you to do. And second, when you did that, you asked them to pay you for that privilege. It's like, I'm a little bit short this month. Can you go down to the harbor? It's like a plumber, right? Saying, can you go down to the hardware store to pick up the pipes for this project? But I'm a little bit short this month. Can you take my ID? I get a little kickback from the hardware store. So I want to take my wife out for dinner on Friday. So it's like, they're going to get really mad, right? It's really mad. But now, because the agencies are signing up their own hands, they can use these referral program links, if that's all you have, to sign up and track the deal. And then they take the money, and then they can build a relationship with the vendor. And then the third reason for doing that is if these commissions are recurring, ongoing revenue sources, if you ever plan to sell your agency, this is the highest leverage revenue, because it's the revenue around the client base, like the client treadmill, is only one time. You only get one time revenue on that, because it's only the current value of the contracts that's worth. Because the problem with the client revenue, like anything that's labor based, is it doesn't matter. Like I said, you have nothing. You own nothing. This is what the vent owner said. You own nothing for labor you're selling to clients. You're just made payroll. That's all you've achieved. And then even then, there's still risk that the clients will not pay you. Like, you're still financing. And it's very, very risky to have a labor-only business.
I am thinking even you can start a new business model, right, as an agency. Maybe don't charge a setup fee, but just like charge a, like, I will do everything for free. I just want the recurring revenue for managing Facebook ads, let's say. And but I
pretty earn common, from ad spend. That's pretty common. So ad agencies, a very common model is 25 points of the budget. So in AppMind, we calculate. You can put a markup on ad spend, 25%, and we'll do all the calculation automatically and bill the client because it's coming through. So you don't have to do the bookkeeping. We'll handle that as well. I wouldn't suggest only doing a performance-based or a spend-managed-based, because it's kind of misaligned.
Yes.
Like, so you can do a performance-based one, which is like how many leads and demos I've booked. It's quite risky. It's fine to start up if you're just starting as an agency. The best model to get into is, yes, you need to have KPIs, key performance indicators. You need to have goals that you have to hit for the clients.
Yes.
But you should build a system out so that there's something operationally that you're doing every month with them. Wrap a retainer around that, because now in AppMind, we're just launching our retainer product, so you can add retainers to the stack. So you build the system out and add like $1,000 a month or whatever you're to the retainer for your time. And you are there maintaining the stack and building it out. But you're actually, the stack is really the how, the what is the work you're doing, and the why is the business results. It's like, I'm going to get you more customers. I'm going to solve your financial reporting if you're doing accountants, whatever it is. That is the best model, because it's stable for the clients and high margin for you. And it's still results.
Yeah. For example, we interviewed a company called manyrequests.com. It's like a portal for agencies, and they have like a checkout, and it's for agencies that want to productize and to charge for their services with credit cards, with a credit card, like on a monthly basis. But you are doing that built in that bind or something like that.
So we're adding this now. Is the literally the next thing is service billing. Now, I'm not going to say that we're going to compete with products like ManyRequests or FreshBooks directly, because those are really about the complexity of service billing. But we are a payment portal. We have the payment methods on file, right? So that you can add your you can calculate how much is owed and then post the through app binds and then collect the money. You already have the credit cards and
something like an Uber, but for B2B. Well, you know what I mean, but
well, I think actually, if you want to go that way, just one last analogy to give people, because this is really a SaaS audience. DoorDash, if you know, I mean, do you have DoorDash in Mexico? Do you know what that is?
It's Rappi.
Yeah, okay. Delivery, like it's a delivery platform for food, right? And so,
yes,
this is a good analogy. I don't like saying we're X for Y. I don't say like AppLine is a DoorDash for SaaS, but we're the DoorDash for SaaS. Mm-hmm. Or whatever you mentioned. But what are these models? So a restaurateur, a lot of restaurateurs believe, like SaaS companies, that customers come in for the white glove service. Like they want come for like the table service, the waiter, like the ambiance, all this stuff. They want the full service. SaaS companies think the customers need the full lifecycle treatment. You know, you have sales and success and account managers and all this. Okay. Some customers want that. Turns out, well, it's been known for a long time in the restaurant industries for professionals that 30% of customers don't care about any of that. They just want the food, right? Since the pandemic, of course, increased that to 50%. So what these DoorDash, Uber Eats or whatever, they all found is they would show up to these restaurants with delivery people wearing their uniforms with virtual cards and buy the food. Like, because you don't, the thing with virtual cards, again, you don't need an integration. You can just show up and buy, use a credit card and purchase, right? That's why AppLine works with any SaaS yes. company. We have 300 apps, right? So these companies just show up and the restaurateur is like, who the hell are you? Like, why are you showing up? What's DoorDash? And then DoorDash is like, well, we have all these patrons, these customers who want food delivered, but you don't have any delivery because they haven't staffed up a delivery service. But you could sign up and then market to them. And so they put the DoorDash decals on the windows, right? And then the customers would sign up when they wanted delivery and around the wheel it went. And but same thing, SaaS companies don't have a delivery service because that's the agencies or accounting like service companies. That's the delivery service clients need. And, you know, yes. if you can't stand up your own service channel, you know, you have to support the service. And that's where AppLine allows you to go to market. And 30% of the IT industry is minimum.
Yeah. And to finalize, like, what is your fee or your business model?
So we charge 1% of the money moving through us for us. That's really a bookkeeping charge because we have managing money costs money. And then whatever the payment fees to load in, so Stripe fees, that's just an expense. And then for SaaS, that's the only charge we do for the agency. And for SaaS vendors, it's $2.99 a month US to have the registered partner program. So that should be less than your cost of bookkeeping and allow you to go to market through this channel.
That's great. I liked this conversation. Thank you for being here. I think this will, a lot of Mexican users, Latin American users will go with you to appbind.com and check you out.
Amazing. Yeah, we absolutely love it. Happy to thanks for having me.
And what other place can they find you?
If you're a SaaS company, if you're a SaaS company, I run the trade association of all the SaaS partnership people, cloudsoftwareassociation.com. And really, honestly, we're having our conference because we can all be in person again after 2 years, 3 years, April, end of April in San Francisco. And that's actually all partnership people. It's an instant network. It's called SaaS Connect, saasconnect.org. Come there if you want to like connect immediately to the partnership network. It's tech partnerships and channel partnerships, saasconnect.org. And then me, I'm Sunir, S-U-N as in November, India Romeo, at appbind.com. So S-U-N-I-R at appbind.com. Email me there or LinkedIn, Sunir Shah, S-H-A-H, LinkedIn. I'm happy to meet anyone. Happy to help anyone, honestly. Like, I don't know if people could see, but I have this guy on my wall, Gandhiji, here. So kind of my vibe. I'm here to help people. So this is like a really difficult problem. I like it because there's a lot of small businesses, big businesses all struggling. But, you know, if you can get people the right technology, then you can get them to the right solutions and you can make a big impact on them. That's actually what I care about.
So. Yes, that's a great mission. And thank you for sharing your story and see you on the next episode with another guest. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye, Hari.